Napa know-how.
It takes a lot to get excited about a bag, but most bags can't save you 20% on auto parts. That's 20% off headlamps, 20% off oil filters, 20% off virtually anything you can fit inside the 99-cent Napa reusable bag. So tell your buddies, there's a bag they just have to check out. Quality parts, helpful people. That's Napa know-how.
Napa know-how.
At participating Napa Auto Parts stores while supplies last. Minimum three items. Exclusions apply. Offer ends 10/31/17.
You are Locked On Pacers, your daily Indiana Pacers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
Welcome back to Locked On Pacers on the Locked On Podcast Network. My name is Tom Luce of IndyCornrows.com. Here with your daily dose of information, news, and notes about the Indiana Pacers. And tonight, we're going to look back at the Pacers' 109-103 loss to the New York Knicks at Bankers Life Fieldhouse on national TV. Reggie Miller in the house. Pacers came up short. Rough loss at home. Before we dig into the dirt, I want to remind everyone to please share your thoughts and comments on the game, on the coaching, on the players. You can reach me via email at indycornrows@gmail.com and on Twitter at indycornrows. All right, so as I mentioned, the Pacers dropped a third loss in a row to the New York Knicks, who were struggling as well when they arrived at the field house. But the Pacers greeted them with a strong start and a fresh starting lineup. C.J. Miles took over the role of starting shooting guard for Glenn Robinson III. And the change looked good early as the Pacers jumped up to a 34-22 lead after one quarter. Offense was rolling. Things looked great. But as was a big concern with the change was what was going to be left on the bench. Now, I was also concerned with Robinson. I mean, he has definitely been struggling. You can't leave him in there when he's struggling. I get that. But a lot of it seemed to be a confidence thing, and you don't want to bury him on the bench and have him completely lose everything that he had gained. As it was, Robinson ended up playing pretty good minutes off the bench, about 18 minutes. So, if that is going to be his role off the bench, keep him in the mix. I'm fine with starting CJ or whomever and trying to keep that bench rotation going. But as it was, things faltered. Also, Aaron Brooks was out with a knee. And so that pressed Joe Young into action. And so once that bench unit was fully out there with Serafin, Jefferson, Joe Young, Ben Robinson III, there was a lot of good energy, and I thought maybe they would make it through their stretch, but the defense just wasn't there. And again, that Serafin Jefferson combo is just not good on the defensive end, and the lead slipped away. And eventually, you know, over the stretch between the second and third quarter, the Pacers were outscored 64-41, and the Knicks were really in control of the game, you know, and that's not all on the bench. I know I started talking about the bench, but the starters did their damage early in the third quarter as well, getting off to a poor start there and letting the Knicks run away from them a bit. So it was really almost a repeat of what we saw in the Lakers game, where they struggled and the Lakers kind of seized control in the third quarter. But the Pacers did rally in this one and really had a chance to win, a very good chance to win. All the momentum on their side. Paul George got going late. Miles Turner made some big plays on both ends of the floor. And the Pacers actually took the lead, but on some critical possessions down the stretch. Defensively, Carmelo Anthony wasn't going to be denied. And when it came down to the Knicks needing the bucket to seal the deal, they were able to create a switch that put Jeff Teague on Melo, and the double team was a little late. Melo shot a very contested shot, but Jeff Teague is only so tall, and despite getting his hand up, Melo was able to get up over him and swish the bucket. And then, you know, the execution, they had chances to not only stay with the Knicks as Melo was going on his late run, but also, you know, extend the lead. C.J. Miles missed a three. Then when they really needed a bucket, it seemed like, and this is going to sound like a dig on Paul George, it is in part, I guess, but really, as you saw, the play set up, nobody on the offensive end was moving. Everybody just kind of ground to a halt. PG had the ball and took a dribble, shot a contested 19-footer that bounced. No one's there to rebound, but let alone, there was not 1 ounce of offense run when they had a chance to actually seize control back of the game. It was just a wasted possession. And then on another key possession down the stretch, they ran some good action, got Miles Turner under the rim with a matchup that looked favorable, but he was unable to handle a pass that was a little off and went out of bounds, turnover. So execution down the stretch killed him, missed three, bad shot, turnover, and when you have to come back from a big double-digit deficit, you don't have that much room for error, and the Pacers had too much error down the stretch, and the Knicks were able to convert with Carmelo Anthony rising up and making shots, and then also Courtney Lee making key free throws to salt the thing away. You know, the free throw situation was real interesting. As that lead slipped away in the first half, the Knicks did their damage at the line, and for the game, they shot 35 free throws and made 31 of 35 free throws. So, and that includes the first two free throws of the game from Joakim Noah that were misses. One was missed so bad left that it missed the rim and went viral on social media, the video of that bad miss. So, so they were 0 for 2, and then they went 31 for 33, made 20 in a row before Melo missed a key one late in the fourth that, again, gave the Pacers life. But Courtney Lee stepped up and made the big ones to salt away the game as the Pacers had to foul at the end, and he never gave them life or gave them hope to make a bucket and get back in it. So the Pacers certainly earned this loss with that effort throughout the whole of the game, and now they're at a bit of a crossroads again with a road game at Minnesota on Thursday and then a back-to-back at home on Friday against Sacramento, a team that is not a great matchup, and then you know, Houston on Sunday, which is going to be a real challenge the way the Pacers struggle defending the three-point line. After the game, Nate McMillan was frustrated with the defense giving up so many foul shots. He did like the way the team started the game and the energy and, you know, the change in the lineup, which you can give them. They definitely did start the game well. But when you're looking at the rotation and how it's going to work out, they either got to tighten up the rotation, they're going to have to split Thad Young, Paul George more and, you know, keep those two bigs out of there. And if Aaron Brooks is a long-term issue, you know, they're going to have problems if they have to bring Joe Young in too much. Yeah, he's just not the threat offensively and also a problem at the defensive end. You know, maybe more minutes will help him, but I don't think this team, you know, moving Robinson to that unit needs another young guy out there trying to settle things down. It will be interesting to see what happens with Monte Ellis. He was playing big minutes down the stretch and hurt his knee going in to the lane on a drive. Was able to make free throws afterwards, which were key, but had to limp off, leave the game, and we'll see what he says. You know, with a couple days off, if it's not serious, I assume he would be all right, but could be something that might keep him out. Rodney Stuckey is supposedly very close to returning, and maybe an injury to Monte will solidify that return to the lineup, since they're going to need that gap filled in the playing rotation. And maybe the combination of Stuckey and Robinson might be a little better defensive fit on the reserve unit, and Stuckey can, you know, do the same things, drawing attention and getting to the line on the offensive end for that unit. Something's got to flip the switch here, because the up and down nature of the team right now is not going to make it, and I have a feeling that not all these players are going to make it past the trade deadline with this inconsistent level of play. Joking with Nick Taylor at halftime, it's like poor guy has got to be getting tired of cycling through the same storylines with this team and the up and down nature of their play, the inconsistent nature of their play, and it's not always the same guys every night, but the results are inconsistent, and only the only thing that is reliable at this point. You never know what's going to happen. So, again, though, Pacers on ESPN Friday night really looked poor for that ESPN crowd. And then on TNT tonight, Reggie Miller in the house, they weren't much better. And you know, at halftime, Charles Barkley spoke about the Pacers being a big disappointment and him feeling that, you know, they should have been one of the top four teams in the East. You know, Shaq said, yeah, they're still going to be a fifth seed. But Barkley kind of summed it up saying, yeah, but really, you know, I thought they should be a two or three, and they're not nearly as good as I thought. I think I would raise my hand along with a lot of other people in echoing those comments as the Pacers now start heading into a stretch of the schedule that's going to be a little tougher, and somehow they're going to have to be tougher, both mentally, physically, whatever it takes to alter the way things are going, because this up and down play right now is going to have them begging to get in the playoffs pretty soon. Right now, as it is, they remain a half game up on Chicago with an even record of 22-22 at 500, holding seventh place in the East. But again, with challenges looming on the schedule, someone's going to have to rise up. So the challenge is out there with games to be had here. Pacers got to rise up and take care of business. Paul George had 31 points tonight, but again, in what was a duel down the stretch with Carmelo Anthony, Melo got the better of him. Melo had 26, but had 5 critical points on late possessions down the stretch, and that put the Knicks in position to win the game and send the Pacers home with that ugly L. And it was a late tip with the 8 o'clock TNT time. And right when the Knicks sealed the deal in the waning seconds, it was funny to see the field house just completely clear out. Everyone, I think, looked at their watch and was like, oh, my God, I got to get home. This is ridiculous. And it was like a fire alarm went off or something. Everyone was running to the exits and getting out of there. So no joy in Indy for Pacers fans as the Knicks come in and celebrate a win on the Fieldhouse floor. All right, well, again, if you want to share your thoughts on the game, love to hear your perspective, please hit me up on email at indycornrows@gmail.com or on Twitter at indycornrows. As always, you can listen to the pod on audioboom.com or subscribe on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, or Google Play, where all previous episodes are archived and available. And that's all for tonight, this quick post-game recap. We'll be back with more tomorrow. You've been listening to Locked On Pacers on the Locked On Podcast Network. You got it.